Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 63 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the punk rock creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and, of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name. Punk rock! I'm having a delayed reaction to that. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadeboe.com, and I have put a link to that on the description page for this episode back at Blog Talk Radio. Punk rock! That was so not punk rock. What is that? Welcome to the Church of Rock and Roll! Yay! See, the thing is, if I do punk rock the way I want to do it, I'm going to blow your eardrums out. And I don't want to yell at you, so my little punk rock cartoon grandpa punk rock is going to have to do it for you today. But if you want to hear me yell at you, you can go look up Obedient Waves, because that's all we do in that band is yell. But what I wanted to talk about today is music as medicine. Music is magical, and music has saved my ass so many times. And I don't have a genre I love. I do yell. I hesitate to say sing, although we do sing as well, in a punk rock band called Obedient Waves, which is a very cathartic experience. But I sing show tunes around my house, lots of Jesus songs because I grew up on Jesus songs, lots of like commercial lyrics, and then random pop songs by so-called artists that I don't even like because my brain is just a weird receptacle for all things pop. So I'll get a song stuck in my head and I'm like, I hate this song, but I can't make it stop. So I sing everything, I listen to everything, and music is magical regardless of what genre you are into, and it doesn't have to be pretty to be healing. So what I want to talk about today is that and how you can leverage the power of music in your magic, in your art, in your manifestation, in creating the kick-ass life of your dreams. It's a really beautiful, handy tool to have in your little magical toolkit. And if you really think back through your life, I will bet that you can find more than a few songs or records that saved your ass too, because music has the power to do that. I think that music can be a magical tool, a religious device, a spiritual catalyst, a direct link to the divine, because it is. It so is, and it doesn't have to be religious in nature to do so, which is something that I did not know growing up because we were only allowed to listen to Christian music. We weren't allowed to listen to rock and roll, so I would either sneak it on this little tiny boombox I had in my garage that I plugged in to the dryer. I actually electrocuted myself trying to unplug the dryer one day. I didn't plug it into the dryer. I plugged it into the dryer's outlet. So I electrocuted myself in the name of rock and roll. Or if I went to a friend's house, it was always like, let's turn the radio on. But we were allowed to listen to Christian rock and even Christian punk rock. Like later when I was in around sixth grade, I thought, you know, I had to keep upping the stakes. And Christian punk rock was like as cool as I could get. We had a band called Undercover come to our church and kind of shocked everyone. The older people were not pleased by these people because they said the word shit in our church, and that was very upsetting. But anyways, I later learned that it wasn't the Christian aspect of this music that gave it power. it was just the music. And any kind of music, in my opinion, has value and power. And I this is something that I grappled with when I was into the law of attraction. I still am, obviously, because I talk about it. But when I first was learning the law of attraction, there's a lot of, I think, shame-based ideas in that whole world that are kind of a hangover, I think, from the Abrahamic religions that we grew up in. Robert Ojeda, again, I have to give credit where credit is due because I just compulsively feel compelled to do so, but he really helped me to see how a lot of what we talk about in Law of Attraction is very shame-based, and it's a little paranoid, quite frankly. but when I was in Obedient Waves, I was very much into the Law of Attraction, too, and I started worrying that, like, we're singing about all this angry stuff. A lot of songs that I write all the songs. I write all the lyrics. And so I was feeling like, are we going to draw all this bad stuff to us? Because I was writing about things that I feel are unjust, things that make me feel angry, things you can't say typically out loud in a social situation without freaking people out. But somehow if you put it to music, people will rock out to it. You just can't say it at the dinner table. So I was very conflicted about that for a long time until, you know, I came to the conclusion in my pre-Ojeda days that I wrote those music as a form of catharsis for myself, and I was offering them to the audience as a form of catharsis for them if they needed it, if they wanted to take it, if they enjoyed it. A lot of what we sing about, too, is just fun and silly, but a lot of it's angry, so that's the stuff that I was conflicted about. And it reminded me when I was very young, I don't know how old, in my early 20s sometime, and I often say that, you know, that was one of the worst times in my life. I was extremely angry and depressed. My husband left me. I had a little boy, a toddler, who had just been diagnosed with autism at a time when hardly anything was known about autism. I was so poor, like coming up with food was a miracle if it happened. I mean, poor, living in Hollywood with a dream and not feeling free or able to pursue that dream because of all the circumstances I just missed. So I was just like filled with so much rage, really, and sadness and frustration. So I often say that Holes Live Through This saved me. And Hole is Courtney Love's band. Back in the day, it really rocked. I still think that Live Through This is one of the best albums of all time, and I will happily stand by that regardless of how you feel about Courtney Love. that record just rocks so hard, and it really, really, even today I can put it on, and it's just, there's something about it that is so freeing, and I think it gives you permission to really feel your emotions. Whether it's that record or you're into, like, gangster rap or whatever you're into that's kind of, like, more hardcore, that kind of music, it gives you permission to express the feelings that you already have instead of, like, holding them inside and always having to be the good girl or the good boy, you know, and having that stuff fester inside of you. It's kind of a form of shadow work when you think about it. And that record, Live Through This, during that time in my life, it allowed me to express my feelings. I would drive around in the hills of Hollywood, like, blaring that full blast in my little rickety truck. and it made it so I got to give life to those feelings and express them, and then I didn't have to dump that on other people, especially my kid who didn't deserve it and wouldn't have been able to handle all of those feelings. So Hole helped me. Helped me be a better mother, if you can believe that, ironically enough, if you think about, you know, well, I don't want to say what I'm going to say. I'm not going to diss Courtney Love, because God knows how that might come back on me one day. Yay, Courtney. But that's the thing. Music, it doesn't have to be pretty, and it doesn't have to be positive to heal. And as has happened with most of these shows, and just life in general, it's so interesting how synchronicities pop up in your life when, you're focused on something. So I knew that I was going to do this Church of Rock and Roll show today. I knew what I wanted to talk about. And as I've told you before, I'm subscribed to a bunch of different newsletters, but a few music newsletters. And I got a newsletter this morning from Spin Magazine. And I clicked on a story that is about some band I've never heard of, a guy, Timothy Showalter. I guess his recording identity, as they said it, I guess that's his stage name or the name of his band, is Strand of Oaks. And he has an album coming out called Heal, and the album's second single is called Shut In, and Spin referred to this song as a glorious ode to the hope of recovery. And then Timothy Showalter, the artist, said of it, it is not a soft, gentle healing. It is like scream therapy. I ripped out my subconscious, looked through it, and saw the worst parts, and that's how I got better. And I thought that was so fitting for today. He named his album Heal, and he put all of the ugly stuff in there, and in doing that and giving it a voice, it healed him. And I do think that as an artist does that with their work, it's not only healing to them, it's then an offering for other people to tap into if they need that kind of healing too, which might explain why certain people gravitate towards certain kind of music while the rest of us sit there like scratching our head like, really? You like that? That's okay. I think about the first image I had in my mind when I wanted to talk about this actually was rock concerts, because rock concerts were really, even just seeing them on TV, I don't even have to be there. When I see a sea of people at like a big festival like Glastonbury, or when I've been at Coachella in person and there's a bunch of people, or just when you're at a really big concert for one of your favorite bands, you're so excited to be there. You're so excited to hear the music. But then there's also like a collective component to it where people start swaying together or clapping together. Everybody's in the song together and feeling it together. And I swear, I can't even talk about it without kind of getting choked up when I think about when everybody starts singing out loud together. It makes me cry every single time. Or when they start clapping, when I hear a lot of people doing something like that in unison, it really gives me this like out of space, out of time, surreal, spiritual, like otherworldly feeling that I got in church as a kid sometimes. And I will talk about that a little bit more in a second. But when I first put that together, it was exciting for me, because you probably know if you listen to this show late, you know, with any frequency, that I am a person who am always grappling with that and trying to make connections between my current spirituality with this Christianity I grew up in and the Christianity of my entire family. I'm kind of the black sheep and trying to maintain that connection with my family that I love, and a childhood that I value and want to continue to value. So this is kind of my issue, and I'm sorry if it gets on your nerves, but this is where I'm at, and I just try to meet you guys where I am at and hope that it resonates with you on some level. So rock concerts does that for me, and I'm imagining that it's done that for you. And they say music soothes the savage beast. You know, they've played music in hospitals experimentally to see how it affects people. They play very soothing, calming music in elevators so people don't want to beat the crap out of each other when they're stuck in an elevator with 12 other people for 12 stories until they get to their destination. Movies is, I'm a big movie freak too. I love the movies, and I do think music has to do with why that is. It's such a beautiful collaborative medium, and I think it is collaborative in a similar way to being at a concert, because I think a rock concert, is a collaboration between the audience and the performers on stage, the performers are being fed, you know, by what the audience is doing, and it bounces back and forth, and the live theater is like that so much, which is what I really should have said instead of movies, because movies aren't really collaborative in that way. What I wanted to say is movies are religious. You go into a dark theater, you're so focused on what you're doing, and you just sort of surrender to this whole two-hour experience that takes you on this emotional ride. It could be very cathartic, whether it's making you laugh or making you cry. If it's a good movie, a quality movie, hopefully you're going to have an experience, and you might even leave the theater changed. And I think that that can be just as valuable as sitting and going to church. A lot of churches have learned this too, by the way, to incorporate music into what they do. And movies more so now than ever. If you watch a movie maybe from the 70s, you'll hear like some music sometimes sprinkled throughout. But then if you follow movies like throughout the decades all the way up into where we are now, some movies, especially commercial movies, especially if they have a shitty script and they don't have a lot of faith in the power of that script to move the audience, they will play music lightly in the background throughout the entire thing. So the next time you're seeing like a really kind of cheesy, blockbustery, big budget movie that's maybe not the highest quality, you might notice that they have music sprinkled all the way through it, beginning to end, in order to keep you engaged and to cue up your emotions. They'll play like certain music when they want you to have a feeling. And now, I don't know if you're from church culture, but if you are, there's been a big shift in the last couple decades in church culture where music has become more and more a part of that, and we have these mega churches now. It's kind of like the stadium rock of religion where, you know, they pipe in music now. So instead of just having a choir up front, you've got like surround sound and like earth-shaking music. Like I said, my church tried to incorporate some rock and roll, not during the service, but like on the weekends and stuff, I guess, to keep us kids out of trouble, to give us a place to go. We would have like these socials at church, and we would listen to Christian rock instead of going out to do God knows what, getting into trouble. And now a lot of people that came from the church that I grew up in, they've actually gravitated toward a new kind of mega church that actually does incorporate rock and roll into the Sunday service. And so I think that that's a way for these churches to hold on to their membership, because we can all go have these religious experiences elsewhere. We can go to Coachella. And I don't know, have you been to a rock concert? And do you have that feeling? Isn't that amazing? Even when people are just like holding up lighters for an extremely moving song. Or I think about the end of the Beatles, when it goes a cappella and you just hear like a whole crowd singing, "All we are saying is give peace a chance." And they're doing like that kind of chant at the end like that. It's so incredible. And that's because our limbic system, our subconscious minds, the parts of us that are accessed by emotion and feeling, I think that's where our real power lies, our magic, our ability to connect with other people, our ability to connect with nature. And your conscious mind is where, you know, I think society tells you all of the power is, but I really think the conscious mind is, it's a very useful and very necessary part of your mind, but it's not really the one that's driving the car. It's actually the deeper parts of your psyche, even your lizard brain, you know, those parts of you that you can't access, they're really the ones that are forming your habits and your thoughts and things like that and shaping who you are. So that's why I think getting into things like personal development, psychology, law of attraction, and magic, those things, they reach down deep inside of you the way that music does to make real changes that can last. Whereas if you try to approach it through your conscious mind, you know, you might be able to use your willpower for a little bit to make whatever changes you're trying to make in your life or to make yourself do things, but ultimately you're probably going to fail because your conscious mind is not the one running the show. And once it loses its grip, that whole subconscious part of yourself takes over, and that's where your comfort zone is. And comfort, one of the most magical experiences of my childhood, we went to Las Vegas when I was a kid, and I saw a Lance Burton magic show. It might be my only magic show ever that I went to that was like a big deal like that, but he played Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb. That's how I got on that, talking about comfort. But I got very like turned on and excited and like weirdly moved by this whole magic show. He's an illusionist in Vegas, and he was like floating this woman up in the sky, or up, it was in a building, but up in the air, and it was this very sexy, cool show. But I really, when I look back, I think it was Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb that was setting the tone and really taking me there to the point where that's like a song that I can play now and actually tap into to generate certain feelings, so you can reach back into your past and look for things like that to kind of push your own buttons and to make things happen for yourself. And we have collective experiences like that as well around ceremony and, I don't know, like rites of passage. We have, long pause. There are songs that are such a part of our cultural experience and so associated with specific rites of passage that some of us, we can't help but feel something when we hear them in the right context. They have the power to push our buttons, like almost on command. So tunes like The Wedding March or Pomp and Circumstance at a graduation ceremony, they get a rise out of us, even if you don't even like those songs. If it's in a certain context, it can push your buttons, you know. And to see a bunch of kids, especially your kid, walking across the stage to Pomp and Circumstance, it can bring a grown man to tears. It did that for me when my son graduated from high school, and it was the first time I ever saw my son cry over an experience like that, because his family was there and they were playing that music and we're seeing Tanner up on stage. We didn't even know if he knew what was happening, if he knew he was graduating, but I saw him like wiping tears off his face, and it was so moving to see. And I'm jumping around a little bit. I should have, I guess, made notes for today because I had so many things that I wanted to say, and you can kind of tisk-tisk me for that, because I'm already doing it in my head for that, like, long pause that I had. My point is just that there's so much energy and so much magic to tap into with magic. I wanted to throw some examples at you, get you on the same page with me, and then maybe encourage you to tap into that in some way. So, for example, like, my mom, she's really into marching bands, and she gets all choked up about marching bands, so maybe, you know, that's the kind of music that she might want to play for herself when she wants to feel a connection to God. It doesn't necessarily have to be Jesus music to do that. And I will just reiterate for those of you that don't know, God to me is not a male figure sitting up in the sky casting judgment upon us here on earth. I believe it is an energy and a pulse, and that it can be tapped into any time, any place, because it is inside of you 24/7. It is always there. And witches know this, and they have an array of techniques for tapping into that energy. They light candles and burn incense and change the sights and sounds and fragrances in a space to create a sense of sacredness, a visceral connection to the divine. And music is one of the tools that does this and moves us the most deeply. So whether you are blasting Queen on the stereo or just humming quietly to yourself, shaking a rattle, drumming, clapping your hands, maybe just playing a Gregorian chant or some Beethoven quietly in the background while you're doing your thing, you can completely change the energy in the room. and really in every cell of your body. And I know that you know what I'm talking about because you're human and this is something that we all have in common. But the thing about witchy people is that they use this to their advantage consciously. Like, we know this works and we utilize this. And that's one of the things that I think is so cool about being a witch. Witches raise energy, and witchcraft is an art form. And for that, it is a very beautiful way of being in the world. And I think that the law of attraction community as a whole is a, perhaps a bit more reserved and better behaved in some ways, or in terms of like what might be considered socially acceptable. But it uses art too and is really creative. And if you practice the law of attraction, you're probably familiar with things like vision boards and positive affirmations. And the thing is that for me, from my perspective, that I think the law of attraction community could use even more like magic and creativity to take what they're doing to another level. So, for example, positive affirmations, they might work a whole lot better if you set them to a rhythm or phrase them in a way that rhymes. So, you know, for example, if you want to create wealth for yourself, you might use a standard affirmation and say something like, I now allow more abundance to flow into my life. And that is a very good affirmation. And if you say it a few hundred times with feeling, you might start to believe it. And there is power in believing for sure. But I am of the opinion that coming at these things through your mind, as I was trying to explain earlier, not so eloquently, is not half as effective as coming at them through your emotions. So maybe try a standard affirmation like that for a while and see how it works, see how it feels in your body. And then maybe try something different. Maybe clap your hands, snap your fingers, drum on a table, or beat on your chest like this. I don't know if you can hear me, but you might want to try... What is mine? Money flows to me easy and effortlessly. Money flows to me easy and effortlessly. I am a money magnet. I am a money magnet. Money flows to me easy and effortlessly. Money flows to me easy and effortlessly. I am a money magnet. I'm a money magnet, and you are probably laughing at me right now, but I don't care. This show has been such a disaster today. Anyways, I'm just going to, like, take it to the limit and be as goofy as I can to try to, like, cover for all of the chaos. But if you do a chant like that, if you do that in a group with a group of people, it is even more powerful. And if you'd like to study this phenomenon even further, you might want to check out the work of Oliver Sacks. He is a neurologist and author and a deeply fascinating human being, mainly because he is deeply fascinated by his fellow human beings and their brains specifically. He has written many excellent books. He's done a lot of work around autism, which you know is close to my heart, and music. He has a book called Musicophilia, Tales of Music and the Brain, that I think will shed more light on what we are talking about here. But you don't need to know how music or magic works for it to work for you. So maybe just experiment with it. If you're feeling kind of numb and you need to grieve something and you're trying to feel your feelings, Eric Clapton's Tears in Heaven always works for me, for my mom. When she was getting divorced from my dad, she listened to Bonnie Raitt's I Can't Make You Love Me If You Don't, like on and on and on, and I know that that had so much healing for her. When I want to feel empowered, I listen to Foxy Shazam's Unstoppable, and he actually has a record called The Church of Rock and Roll, which I should have mentioned earlier because it's awesome. If you're trying to seduce a woman, you might play some Barry White, or if I am that woman, you might want to bust out the Interpol instead, because as much as music is a collective thing, it's also very personal and individual. So I encourage you to experiment with it, find what works for you, maybe make yourself some playlists that can, you know, pull you up and lift you up when you need it, something that you can really rely on to get yourself into the mood, and maybe just to make your magic more powerful. I will talk to you next Tuesday. Much love. Peace.